Welcome to Tri-Town Advice Givers Podcast, a podcast dedicated to bringing the Tri-Town and surrounding area residents the best advice from the brightest minds. My name is Mark Borst, your host, and today we are on location in Dyer, Indiana at Effort Performance and Rehabilitation with Audric Warren. I'm going to start here. Welcome to the show. I'm sitting here with Audric at Effort Performance and Rehabilitation. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Good, great. Why don't you go ahead and start by telling me a little bit about you as a person?
Well, I'm a region guy. I'm from Gary, Indiana, born and raised. Both my parents are from there. You know, youngest of two. My oldest brother lives in Colorado. I'm a Bishop Knoll grad, graduated in 2003. Graduated from Defiance College out in Ohio. Then I got my graduate degree in rehabilitation sciences from California University of Pennsylvania. After that, you know, kind of have been around the region as far as my jobs have been concerned in sports medicine. So I've been with the Railcats, Gary Splash, the Chi-Town Shooters, IUN, South Suburban, a lot of different high schools in the area, just kind of helping out here and there in various clinics. And yeah, here I am.
Cool. That's awesome. So born and raised, and it seems like you've been here other than college for most of after that too.
Yeah, mostly.
yeah, that's cool. So now Effort Performance and Rehabilitation. How long have you been doing this?
We started two Julys ago. So it'll be 2 years in July.
Okay. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
So what was the spark to do your own thing?
Well, it's not just one thing.
Okay.
you know, it was kind of a long journey into actually getting that push to go out and just do it. You know, the first inkling that I had that I actually really wanted to do it was, you know, working in healthcare and sports medicine, I started to see a trend that I really wasn't a big fan of. And that trend was just healthcare started to turn into a business. You know, they weren't actually valuing the people that would come in for help, you know, regardless of, you know, if it was something small or something big and traumatic. I saw that it was just turning into, all right, this person's a number. This is McDonald's, basically.
Right.
And people weren't getting, they still aren't getting the quality care and attention that they need, as well as it's not accessible and affordable to them. And I just was not a huge fan of that. Two, you know, as an athletic trainer, you know, working for physical therapy companies or a hospital, I just wasn't a fan of how they were treating athletic trainers as a whole, as a profession. And I guess lastly, it was just also just the relationships I developed with people over the past 10 years, you know, really trying my best to cultivate those. And one day I was just like, you know what? I have to do it. If I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. You know, so I kind of just dove headfirst into it. And, you know, I remember sitting in the dugout of a game, kind of drawing my logo. And, you know, it may have been 2 days later that I was like, all right, I'm doing it.
That's awesome, though. That's good.
Yeah, put my 2 weeks notice in, and I just started.
Yeah, that's great. I think a lot of entrepreneurs start that way. You know, it gets pent up, and then once you make the decision, it's quick. It's the pent-up energy that takes a while to brew to the top, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool. So based around sports, obviously, is the idea of Effort, or anybody that's doing rehab?
Well, what's unique about Effort is that we just delve into anyone who moves.
Okay.
You know, whether you're 9 years old to 75 years old, if you are able to move and ambulate, et cetera, this is the right place for you, because we integrate, you know, the three different fundamentals of sports medicine, sports performance, and wellness. And we don't want to exclude anyone just because, you know, you're a weekend warrior. Just because you're not a collegiate athlete. If you have issues with some sort of movement or something is bothering you that, hey, I can't squat. Hey, I just want to play with my grandkids. Hey, Audric, I literally just want to be able to do my job, and, you know, and on the weekend I want to play volleyball or et cetera. We want to be able to help those people.
Okay.
And that's what we do here.
Okay. So I heard a little bit about wellness, you said, and then performance too. So people are coming out to get better at their individual skill or their body mechanics in general. Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah. The idea is that one, I tell people this all the time, is that if you're in the business of sports performance, you're in the business of sports medicine. If you're in the business of sports medicine, by default, you're in the business of sports performance, as well as with wellness. We have to take roots from sports medicine as well. And if we don't integrate those things, people are missing a piece of that pie. Yeah, you might be able to run faster, but if we aren't preventing injury, that's not going to help you in the long run, because come sectionals or conference or whatever it might be, if you're not on the roster because you're hurt, all that training is pointless. We right. just wasted your time, right. basically.
And I know both my kids are in youth sports, and I see too that more at a younger age, but they might be excelling at some part of the sport, but they're not doing it correctly. And then it either causes the injury or they just get bypassed eventually because they didn't do those fundamentals from the beginning.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's a more recent trend. Nowadays, you've got four-year-olds who are like, I'm a baseball player. I am a hockey player. So for a majority of the time that they're developing, they do one sport the entire time. So they don't gain the ability to become athletic. You are a one-sport athlete now, where years ago, everyone played two sports. There are even people who played three sports, you know. So people are losing those fundamentals of how to just run, jump, land, catch a ball, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And that also lends people to getting injured. You do the same chronic motions over and over and over again, you are going to get hurt.
Right.
And when you talk about athletes who want to go to the next level, if they have never even done a simple sports performance test, you know, looking at their broad jump or their vertical jump, 300-yard shuttle, et cetera, when they go to a big camp or a combine, it's completely foreign to them, and it's culture shock.
Yeah.
So it's just hard for them to actually be successful because, one, they might get hurt. Two, they don't have that athleticism. And three, they're not used to doing the things that athletes should be doing already.
Right. And I think the key word you said there was the athletic ability.
Yeah.
Because if you have a true athlete, you could plop him into any sport and he can learn the sport relatively quickly if he's an athlete.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as a coach, any coach, you would love to have a player that you could put into any position. Hey, I got this guy on my baseball team, or this girl on my softball team. She can be a pitcher, first base, woman, man, catcher, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
I can teach them and mold them something into something new. They're way more valuable than I do this and this alone.
Right.
Not to mention, come playoff time, they're on the roster.
Right. Yeah, much more valuable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I see it. I know nothing about lacrosse other than my kids have been playing it the past few years. And I got roped into coaching the past couple of years, and I don't mind helping out. But we have players that they'll come from other sports, athletic kids, and they jump into lacrosse and they pick it up, you know, almost within the first couple of weeks. And it's great to see.
Oh, yeah. That's always phenomenal, because now they're getting to implement that into other things, and they can do more things they love. That social aspect, too, is also awesome for them, because now they have a whole new group of friends on another team.
Exactly. Yeah, that is a huge part of the social. My kids are involved in so many different things that they have all their different groups of friends, which is cool.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
they're
really
not
awesome.
Just hanging out with the same kids all the time. So... You said 9 years old. Is that pretty much the base of where you're starting? Is that the base of the athletic ability type age?
I mean, that's the youngest that we have, mostly because you want to be able to teach them just their body awareness. They're not going to be in here trying to throw around weight or anything like that, and that's not what we do anyway. But, you know, just learning their general body awareness, footwork, hand-eye, foot-eye coordination, depth perception, those basic things, you pick that up early, you can do anything you want.
Right, right. It goes back to the athletic athletic ability.
Absolutely.
So on the injury side, when people come in, what is the chief complaint that you hear over and over again?
The chief complaint, I find that I get a lot of people who, one, are aggravated because they went to get rehab somewhere, and there are 3, 6, sometimes 8 people in the facility that they're at with one clinician, maybe 2. So they're not getting any kind of one-on-one. You know, they might be doing an exercise. Who knows if they're doing it right? Mm-hmm. They might need the manual, you know, hands-on, you know, rehab. They might get 5 minutes of that if they even get physically touched at all on the joint that's actually hurt. The other complaint, you know, that I'll see is people often go in there and they're spending a ton of money, and what are they getting for it? Or my insurance ran out, and I literally have a huge gap between, you know, being able to raise my arm and I have to be able to throw 90 miles an hour. You know, there's a huge gap in between there. So they're not getting the care. It's not affordable. There's a gap in function. I get a lot of those people, and that's just kind of what we typically see.
Okay. So you're really, you said it at the beginning, you're trying to fill the void from that insurance or from that cost perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I truly believe that whether it's healthcare, sports performance, personal training, you know, all that, the preventative side of things, it should always be affordable. It should always be accessible. You know, if you can prevent most injuries or re-injury, you're doing one heck of a job, plain and simple. I always tell people this is my job is to put myself out of a job. You know, if you come in here with shoulder pain and I can figure out why that shoulder pain happened in the first place versus why your shoulder is just currently hurting or what's hurting, then guess what? You don't have to come in here ever again if I can educate you. Mm-hmm. Or it's like a mechanic. You might just need a little tune-up here and there. All right, I'm just a little tight. All right, come see me when that happens. But for the most part, if I can educate you how to take care of the problem and I fix what the initial cause of it is, then I did my job.
Right. And that's digging down to the root. I think in healthcare and medical, a lot of times, not necessarily in sports related stuff, but we're always trying to fix the symptoms versus the actual problem.
Absolutely. And that's key. Yeah. That's extremely vital. I look at it like this. I had a friend once who, you know, was always having knee pain and just achy, you know, in her joints, and doctors kept looking at, okay, maybe it's this or maybe it's that, or here's a pill for that. And it was something as simple as looking at their diet and nutrition. All right, I have a gluten intolerance, so every time I have something gluten, her knees would just flare up. And it was something as simple as, all right, let's take a look at, like I said, that wellness side of things. Let's look at what you're eating, because food can be extremely inflammatory. Instead of, here's a pill, you know, have a nice day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're a pill popping society, and that's a huge deal.
Yes, I completely agree on that. And as far as the medical field, do you think it's because that they're not compensated for listening to the patient, or why is this big disconnect between the patient and the doctor in the medical field? Because I think that's kind of what you're saying, is they're not listening. They're not.
Oh, it's a tough thing. One, because you kind of get tunnel vision sometimes, you know, and you see so many patients in a day. Sometimes you get tunnel vision that, okay, I've seen this before, or it may be like the 5 other people that I saw this week. You know, it comes from a sense that individualized care can sometimes, it's very difficult to do, honestly, when you're really trying to hone in on, you know, John who came in the door and Sally came in the door. It's easy to say, all right, you're a knee, you're a shoulder, you're an ankle. But when you start treating people like people and really getting into their problems, it's harder to not look deeper versus, all right, I'm just going to disconnect and just you're a knee, you're a shoulder, you're an ankle. I don't have to look that deep if all I see is you walked in the door and my wrist hurts and you're just a floating wrist. But if I take a look at you as a human being, as a person,
right.
I have no other choice but to care about your problems and want to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the whole body, which is, like you said, including the diet. And I think more and more in 2017 here, people are starting to figure that out, but it's still the mainstream medical.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a mentality that, you know, just has developed over time. It's easier that way. Here, take this 2 times a day and call me in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, and I don't know what the reason is, but sometimes you go to a GP doctor, even a specialized doctor, and there's 6 people in the waiting room and they all had 11 a.m. appointments and you're still sitting out in the waiting room at 11:30, you know?
And that's a tough one too, because, you know, I feel for the docs because they do have to see a lot of people, you know, but, you know, you wind up going into a room and, you know, as a doc, like I said, I'm not a doctor, but they go into a room and they might have a more complicated case or scenario than they thought. You know, so one person can slow up the entire day, and
right.
That, like I said, I feel for them. That's tough.
Yeah, definitely. So on the business side of this, I can hear the passion for the actual performance side of it. But what kind of challenges have you had on the business aspect?
The first challenge that I really have had was one. Is getting people to be aware of what an athletic trainer actually is. The name itself lends itself to be misconstrued. So trying to get people to be aware, like I said, I've had phone calls where people have been like, well, my daughter, her shoulder hurts. You know, you're not a physical therapist. You're an athletic trainer. I just want to make sure you're not going to hurt my kid. you know, what do you do? How do you do it? What are your qualifications? Versus if, you know, a PT opened up a place like this, there would never be a phone call like that. Right. Never. They would already have the idea that, all right, they're a PT, they do rehab. Come on in. But that's one of the biggest issues, getting people to be aware of what I am and what I do.
Okay. So why don't you just expand on that a little bit and lay it out for us?
Well, the best way I can describe, you know, athletic trainers, we specialize in first and foremost injury prevention. We want to take into account, all right, what is the root cause, as we touched on earlier? What is the root cause? Let's prevent that. You play basketball. We know that ACLs and ankles are one of the number one and two injuries of the sport. Let's figure out, all right, is there some core issues going on? Is there some ankle mobility issues going on? You know, trying to find the root cause of things. Two, we specialize also in rehabilitation of those athletic injuries, you know, the movement-based populations. So, you know, you come in and the same thing as a physical therapist. We are allowed to treat and bill very similar to them. And then the third component that a lot of people don't see a lot of times, because, you know, in the middle of an NFL game, you might see someone go out there and, you know, they might give them a bag of ice, et cetera. Well, we have that first responder side of us that exists.
Right.
I look at it like this: as a logical human being, if so-and-so went down in the middle of a game, whether it was I broke my tib, I have a concussion, etc., would it make sense for an athletic trainer to go out there and help someone who has a very traumatic injury if they're not qualified as a healthcare professional? You know,
right.
So when people have this idea that one, all athletic trainers do are tape ankles or give ice, they see about 2% of what an athletic trainer is or does.
Right.
The other side is most people automatically assume an athletic trainer is a personal trainer, which they're completely separate, 100%. Would that make sense for a personal trainer to go out on the field if someone's femur is poking out of their thigh? It wouldn't make any sense for a personal trainer to go out there.
Right.
A qualified health care professional is going out to help that person. That is the third component of what we do. And to touch more on that athletic trainer, personal trainer differentiation, you know, athletic trainers have to have a degree specific to athletic training. There's a degree involved. You have to have a national certification to get it and a license to practice in your state. So if you don't have those things, you can't call yourself an athletic trainer.
Okay.
And you'll wind up seeing a lot of strength and conditioning coaches, personal trainers calling themselves that. You even have some schools, you know, selling degrees in exercise science and then saying you can go out and be an athletic trainer. You could if you went and got further education.
Okay. Right.
So it's one of those, you know, it's just one of those things, educating the population or the, you know, the community you serve in that. It's tough sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, especially when the education's hard, when they already have the wrong misconception.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. I said, people see tape and ice.
Yeah.
Not even the slightest. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, school would be pretty short if that's all you had to do.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. So we're here in Dyer. This is the only location you've been at, correct?
I was at a previous location.
Okay.
Before that. I didn't quite have the space that I needed to operate.
Okay.
And, you know, I talked to the owner of, you know, the Dyer Indoor Soccer Arena, Mike Ward, and, you know, he said he had this space available, and beautiful space. I was very happy with it. You know, also, you know, it's connected to two soccer fields and a tennis court. I mean, it works.
Yeah.
It works really well.
Yeah. So the location's been okay for you?
Yeah, I love this location. I mean, a lot of the people that I see, you know, are hockey and softball related.
Okay.
And, you know, you've got all those softball fields in Crown Point. You've got the softball fields over, you know, down the street, basically.
Right.
You've got Midwest, where there's a ton of hockey being played, as well as, you know, the highways right there. So people from Southwest Arena or Orland can make their way here, kind of a thing. You know, it works really well because it's visible, accessible, not to mention it doesn't hurt that my logo colors are orange and gray. So you drive by, you see the bright orange.
Right. Right. Well, that's an important part of business.
You gotta
attract. Yeah. That's cool. So going back, coming up on your 2-year anniversary, is there anything you would do differently 2 years ago that you've learned over the time?
You know, I would say I probably would have tried to find a bigger space sooner, maybe, just because I was so limited in where I was prior to, you know, if you looked at where I was doing rehab, you know, my private treatment room was the size of what I would consider my clinic. You know what I mean? Now I have way more space to provide a better service for people. You know, I would even just, I would say the best advice I would give to my 2 year ago self would be just, this is my dream and my passion. I can't sit around and hope that other people see it. You know, if I want other people to see it, I have to basically demonstrate it through my actions.
Mm-hmm.
I can't expect someone to support me automatically just because, hey, I'm doing this. Support me, support me, support me. No, not at all. You know, because this is mine. This is my vision, my dream, my goal. So if I want it to be successful, I have to be the person to make that happen. I can't rely on anyone else's, you know, handouts or hoping that, hey, you know, I went to school with you. Come on out here if you need rehab. No, it doesn't work like that. You know, no matter how well someone knows you, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to utilize your services and your skills.
Right. It's about building relationships.
Absolutely.
And even though you might have a relationship with someone in the past, it's possibly not the relationship that you want them to know about this side of your life.
Yeah, I mean, but my thing is, I look at it when it comes to business, because I'm a very anti-business person. I see this as more of relationship building.
Okay.
That regardless of, you know, personal life, Audric, or business Audric, they're the same person. You know, most people who know me know that I'm a goofy guy. Like, I make jokes in here. This is a very relaxed environment. I don't yell at people. You know, I might get a little stern about, you know, if they're slacking off. Well, I don't raise my voice at people. I am who I am, whether I'm at home or I'm here, which I'm 90% of the time is here. But you're going to get the same Audric regardless of where you see me at. you know, and I think people can appreciate that because they know that I'm in their corner. You know, all of my athletes know that, hey, I try to make it out to at least one game a year of theirs, you know, because is about relationships to me. You know, I give everyone the first day they come in here my effort spiel about, you know, I'm their biggest fan. All I want is their success. I would rather have people in here that want to be successful and be broke than be rich and just have people in here. Right. I don't want to just fill space and occupy. I want it to be quality, 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 quality.
Yeah, because not only does it lose the personal touch, but it could lose the atmosphere that you want if you have 30 employees and you're just sitting in an office and having someone else do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny, I liken the environment here to almost, if you've ever been, you know, barbershop mentality that, you know, you come in here, you can talk to me about anything. I want people, like if there are three people in here, I want everyone to be able to talk to one another. It should be, like I said, this is a, you know, a community, a very small community inside of a community kind of a thing.
Well, that's definitely, I think, how you grow not only the community, but your business at the same time. So, businesses have to profit.
Absolutely.
And I think that what you're doing with what you just said about community, or I like to use the word culture.
Yeah.
The more you build that in the long run, your business will come. Like you said, you're not going to be a millionaire doing it, but if you can profit and create that community, it's a good feeling for yourself and for everybody involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look at it like this, that if the goal is always to get money, you're never going to have enough. you're going to get greedy. Two, you're going to start neglecting the people that come in the door. But if you look at it, if you do it the other way, where you make sure that you're providing a service to that community that you're a part of, the profit will come naturally.
Exactly.
And people will appreciate that. You know, I believe that I try my best to operate out of a sense of gratitude for people that come in the door. I'm grateful for everyone who stepped in that door and has been supportive of what I do, that I want to give that back 100%.
That's awesome. And so when people do step in the door, do they only see Audric? You have other people working here.
Yeah, I have three other team members here. I have Ashley Doreski. She's a personal trainer, you know, soon to be exercise physiologist. I have Tori Perez. She's an athletic trainer like myself. Like I said, you need rehab, et cetera. She does exactly what I do. She's also a personal trainer. And I have Anthony Lopez. He sometimes will come out here, but for the most part, he is currently our team member in Illinois doing providing sports medicine for a minor league baseball team that we have.
Okay.
So right now, like I said, building my team slowly but surely, but we're coming along.
Okay. So he's with a team. So you actually have teams that you still work with as a whole, like the whole part of the team?
Absolutely. We work with teams, whether it's on the sports performance side, where we'll have teams where we train them, whether it's preseason, in season, et cetera, or we have contracts with various, you know, high schools, colleges, or professional teams as such.
Okay. So you're going to them for those services then?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'll use Monster Lacrosse as a perfect example. You know, we partnered with them recently, and during all their home games, we provide an athletic trainer just to make sure all the kids are, you know, safe and secure. They have a safe playing environment. If there is an emergency, you have qualified healthcare professional on site. But it also helps that if you do just have, you know, all right, I hurt my ankle, my knee, you have us as a resource that Audric, Tori, you know, give us a call. We'll take a look at it, see what the next step is. Do we need to get you into the doc? Is it something that we can just teach you how to take care of it? Or can we just treat you right there in the spot? That's one component of it. And we also have a full circle relationship where we also provide them with sports performance. So, you know, we provide, like I said, whether it's they come here and train or we go to them and train, we, you know, if it's sports medicine related and rehab related, they can come here and get treatment. Or like I said, we make sure someone is in-house regularly for those schools that we have contracts with or universities.
Awesome. Yeah, I've seen some of your posts on there, a couple of the hockey kids that I know. And you're not on the ice with them, you're here with them.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, because you said hockey a couple times, but it's it's body motion and stuff on land, not on ice.
Absolutely. Dry land for hockey players is just as important as, you know, you know, getting on the ice and honing your skills. You have to have all components of being a well-rounded athlete. And as a hockey player, dry land training, especially around this area, can get very underdeveloped. You know, a lot of parents are like, well, let's just go home today. You're missing a piece, you know, or mom, I don't want to do this. You know, people tend to not take advantage of dry land training as much as they need to. And it translates directly on the ice, you know, 100%.
Yeah, I'm a hockey dad too, and I've seen that. Like, I don't want to be here today. You know what? This is more important than being on the ice, because if you can't do the basic mechanics of it off the ice, how are you going to do it on the ice?
Yeah, you're skating on two thin blades of metal.
Right.
You got to have a certain amount of ankle mobility, a certain amount of core strength. You want to have hard wrist shot. That's not just going to come from repetitive motion of playing the sport. Not only that, you look at it like this from the performance or injury prevention side of things. Most people are one-handed. You're going to do that slap shot to the same side over and over and over again. You're creating dysfunction. But guess what? If you strengthen that other side, you're going to be extremely well-rounded out there. So, yeah.
Probably increase the shot speed on their strong side.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool. Outside of sports medicine, actually even in sports medicine, any book or podcast that you're into that's had a big aha moment in your life?
You know, besides the sports medicine thing, you know, one thing I try my best to do in the car, first of all, I try not to listen to the radio. You know, I try to fill my car ride with some sort of motivational speech or just listening to people who have done great things or are doing great things currently. You know, I listen to, you know, Jim Rohn, Les Brown, Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, just listen to other people talk about what it actually takes to be successful. It makes a big difference in your day. You know, what you put in your headspace a lot of times is what's going to come out in your day.
Definitely.
You know, so if I fill my car right before I even get here with just random nonsense or just listening to the depressing news, et cetera, you know, it's not going to be a good day to start off with. You know, but on the educational side of things, I try my best to constantly stay educated, you know, whether it's getting a new certification. I actually just recently got accepted into a doctoral program, so I'm going to be starting up that so that, like I said, I can get better and acquire new skills and just be better at what I do.
Yeah. And I think it, in everything that we do, business or even relationships in life, if you don't keep growing as a person, then whatever it is gets stagnant and stale and eventually withers off. So,
oh yeah, exactly. If you don't grow as a person, you're stuck.
Yeah.
You're stuck repeating the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, if you're talking sports, basically someone's going to eat your lunch. You know, there's going to be a day where you don't want to be here. You don't want to train. Those are the days you got to come.
Yeah.
Cause guess what? That one day that you didn't come, someone else came and they kept coming and they got better. And when you're across the ice or the court or whatever it is from them, all they need is that inch and they'll get it.
That's all it is. It's, the difference in athletic performance could be minuscule, but that minuscule difference is all that's needed.
Everything is a game of inches, basically.
Exactly. So outside of business, you said that you were here 90% of your time, but outside of business, what other kind of stuff do you like to do?
Well, one, I love music. I'm a big music guy. I love music. You know, I'm always constantly trying to find new music and find good stuff that's out there, because that can be far and few in between with how music has evolved over time.
So what kind of genres?
I mean, anything that catches my ear.
Okay.
I guess the most recent thing that I've become obsessed with was a song that I really heard this past week was by Francis and the Lights called May I Have This Dance. Just check it out sometime.
Okay, I'll check it out.
Outside of that, you know, I like video games. I am a gamer. Not so hardcore that I do all the online, you know, the guys that live on those things. But I'll go to my buddy's house and we'll play some Gears of War, etc. Like I said, I also like, I just love learning, you know, so I don't read a ton of regular books. Most people, if you look at my book collection, it's textbooks. I'm weird like that. But other than that, like I said, outside of that, like I'm a big family guy. I love, you know, being around my family, my friends, et cetera, when I have the freedom to do so. I love to get a chance to just sit down and just hang out.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. So before we get going, is there anything that I didn't touch on that you want to bring up, talk about, expand on?
I mean, like I said, I think we covered it mostly. You know, the only thing I would really just like to add is just, you know, I'm really grateful to everybody that's been a part of this, you know, whether it's my family, my parents, my brother, you know, aunts, uncles, et cetera, you know, just really being supportive of this, you know, really, you know, want to thank anyone who's been a part of the Effort family, you know, that have been supportive, especially with my move from there to here, and, you know, them continuously, you know, spreading the word about Effort, because I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for other people, plain and simple. Doesn't matter what I'm capable of doing, if people haven't bought in or are supportive, I fail.
Right.
100% of the time out of 100% of the time, you know. And, you know, I just want to, you know, express that thanks to all of the people that have been a part of this.
Cool.
You know, whether it's my blood family or the Effort family, I'm really appreciative of that. And, you know, thank you, Mark, for giving me the opportunity to give me a platform to do so.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, that's exactly what Advice Givers is about, is trying to let you give your own voice to other people.
Yeah. So.
All right, so to wrap up, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, there's several ways you can get a hold of me. You know, my number for Effort here is 219-794-4653. You know, that's my personal cell. You know, anyone who comes in here knows that you can call me, text me, etc. Outside of that, my email, audric@effort-performance.com. That's my email. If you ever have, you know, questions about it, you can always contact me through there. We also have a website, www.effort-performance.com. Check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/effortpr. You know, our Twitter is the same handle, twitter.com/effortpr. If you ever want to see, you know, pictures or videos of what we're doing, we have an Instagram. So our instagram.com/effortpr. And yeah. So those are the best ways that you can find us, check us out, you know, see what we're doing. You know, there's a lot more to come in the near future.
Cool.
But yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you. I'm looking forward to bigger and better things from you.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.